Signature Boutique carries adorable, trendy, and affordable clothing and accessories for everyone, infant size through 4X. Visit us on Morningside Drive in Marion or visit signatureboutique.net. Let us help you find the perfect outfit for your special occasion.
We're coming up on the halfway point in the Rockets football season. Crittenden County will be at Webster County, which is 0-3 this season. Coach Starnes, this is a team that we've had kind of had our way with over the last few years. Crittenden leads a series 27-13 with one tie, but since 83, we're 25-6 against this team, and if memory serves correct, this was the first win you ever had as a Crittenden County Rocket coach way back in, 1901.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, I tell you, we played them every year except for a couple years when they dropped us and we went to 2A, and it's good to get them back on the schedule, and, I mean, they're right down the road, so it is memorable for me. It was the first win. It was we beat them 7-6. It's when, fortunately, Jasuma Sims, who went on to Kentucky, dropped a pass, touchdown pass in the end zone, and we were able to win that game by 1 point, and it's memorable for us. But, I'm going to tell you, again, it's not about them. It's about us and what we have to do. And, teams like this scare you because, obviously we should win this ball game. But, you got desperate teams that do desperate things, and you got to watch out for. And plus, we have to keep in mind, too, that they have one of our own over there, Gage Courtney, and he's calling the defenses. So he understands what we do and what we're trying to do, and I think it's going to be to his advantage when he game plans for us. But, we're going to have to execute, and we're going to have to make sure that we play with authority and enthusiasm and intensity, and we'll be okay. But our concern right now is the number of kids that we have out, but as we said before, that we have 49 kids on the roster, and when somebody goes out or somebody's hurt or something, somebody has to step back in there and do it. So we're looking at some kids this year, this week, to step in there.
Of course, we do have some injuries. Dylan Hollis, who is as much a centerpiece on this football team as anybody, and he separated his shoulder slightly last week in the Caldwell game, missed the entire second half, and Dylan's a guy that's he's number 7 in career receiving yards for Crittenden County, and he's one of our best running backs too, and probably the better defender than anything. So what do you got planned to replace him if he's unable to go this week?
Well, I mean, we don't have anything planned as far as replacing. We just have to put a backup in there. And so on defense, Gavin Dickerson, who's been solid the last few weeks and coming in and playing a lot more, he'll start at the linebacker. And running back, we're going to have to look at Devin Nesbitt as another running back, as well as Gavin Dickerson too back there, because he's a force and can run the football. So we have to have guys that step up, and I think Jacob Russellberg is one that can run the football. He's improved, and I think in the JV game he showed that he can run the football. So we have to be able to do those things and make sure that those guys understand that they have to come in and play well.
You mentioned Gavin Dickerson. He had 10 tackles last week. That gives him 32 for the season. And he's starting to move right up the list as far as the all-time tackles for freshmen. Some guys in front of him is Adam Beavers, who's currently on the team at defensive end. And then Gage Courtney, who you mentioned, is a coach, defensive coordinator over at Webster. And then Aaron Berry, Tanner Tabor, Brendan Phillips, Steve Thompson, my brother-in-law Lucas Mick, J.D. Gray. Pretty good company in Rocket history. Those names, all those guys were great players.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you what, Gavin has a chance to be one of the best to come through here. He's got a lot of skills. He's got the size, and I think most importantly, he's got the mentality right now, because he's aggressive and he likes to fly around and get to the ball and do it in a bad mood, like we want to teach that. So, and he's a freshman, and it says a lot for him. But he's going to have to come in and play a good game and be aggressive and make the plays that he's supposed to make.
You know, he's got a receiving touchdown this year and a rushing touchdown, and we think that that's probably, according to our stats specialist Andy Hunt, maybe one of only three freshmen to ever do that. So he is in good company, and he's a good guy. But you've got a lot of freshmen that are starting to play. One of them, Brandon Lamey. I always want to say Brandon. Brandon Lamey. And he's a little bit banged up, too. Ankle injury, and has missed some practice this week. And he's been playing your outside rocket backer type player. And do you think he'll be able to go this week?
Well, I mean, I don't know. He heard it, there was a possibility we thought it might be broken on Friday, and he went to the emergency room, got it x-rayed, and ended up being a sprain. And so he came back, and Monday everything was fine, and he played in the JV game on Monday, and then come back Tuesday, and his ankles hurt enough to where he can't practice on Tuesday. So my thing is, I'd rather sit out on Monday and not play the JV game, where he could practice this week and be able to play on Friday. So we just have to see. He's questionable right now, but I don't certainly want him to play in a JV game where they can't play in a varsity game and get hurt. So that's the situation. We don't know what it is, and it's going to be from day to day.
Those are some guys who are questionable. But then you've got a couple of guys who've been on the injured list. You have Adam Wright's back and available, a lineman, a guy I know you're glad to get back. Adam's built. He's compact, little guy, not a little guy. He's about as broad as he is tall, but he's stout as an ox, and I know you'll be glad to get him back to add some depth there in the line. And then Dylan Hicks, who plays in the secondary and is your number one kicker, he's could be back this week. If not, he should be back next week.
You know, you think so. We hope to get those guys back and be able to participate. We're glad to have Adam back, and the thing that with him is he was ready to go on Monday and wanted to play the JV game, but we didn't want his first outing back out after an injury to be a game situation. So, you know, he's going through practice this week and see how it feels, and we have to evaluate and make sure. The thing you worried about that with a knee is whether or not psychologically they're okay when they come back, if their knee's going to be able to hold. So Dylan Hicks just has to go to the doctor and see if he's going to be released, and we're waiting for that to take place, and that hasn't yet, so obviously he can't play.
You know, this is a game this week against Webster County. We anticipate having a good game. I think the offense is poised to really break out after really running into a brick wall, to use the stereotype from last week. The Webster defense is not going to be anything akin to what we saw last week with Caldwell County, but we were talking before we began recording the podcast, and you mentioned they just they kind of pin their ears back and come at you from everywhere. Is that something we can take advantage of?
Well, I mean, certainly we can if we know it's coming, and that's part of our offense is, you know, to run our freeze plays, freeze checks, where we can look and see what they're going to do, and if they come and they bring pressure, we see man coverage, we obviously have some checks for it, and we'll run it. You know, so yes, it can be. They have to catch us, and we have to catch them in it, and I'm sure that they're concerned about what we do against pressure, and we do it pretty well. So they've got to worry about our screens, and they've got to worry about outside runs and quick passing game and stuff like that. So, you know, you do those things when you think that they're only going to do one thing, and when you have multiple options, then it kind of dictates what the defense is going to do a little bit. But, you know, if they play man coverage and they bring pressure, then we've got something for it. If they sit back and run zone, then we have something for that as well. So, you know, we're just going to have to make sure that we read our coverages, get in the right checks, and do the call the right plays in order to have success.
This could be a big breakout game for Nick Castiller if he hadn't had a breakout game already. Of course, he's moving right on up the all-time passing list and one of the top completions leaders, top passing yards. So this could be a breakout game. But, of course, Tyler Coleman, your tight end, who's still as far as my memory serves me, has not missed a pass that has been catchable this year. He's been sick all week and may not be able to play, so it kind of leaves you a little thin in the receiver corps, especially when Hollis is out too, who's been one of the top receivers this year. So who's your backup tight end if Tyler's unable to go?
Well, I mean, we've got two options that we're looking at. We're practicing right now, and we've experimented in the JV game with Paxton Riley at tight end. Instead of him sitting back at third-string quarterback and not getting any playing time, we put him in a position where he can catch the football. JV game, he had two touchdowns and a two-point conversion Monday night. And so, we're looking at him. And we also have Adam Beavers at tight end. And the thing that we have to go back to, and what Coach Thompson asked me was, what do we want to look at doing with those two players right there? And I said, well, you want to look at Paxton because Adam is starting defense. If we're going back to our philosophy, we want him to play one way and not both ways. So we look at Paxton there and then be able to put Adam Beavers in when we have that opportunity. So
both of them, big, tall, long arm, rangy guys, could get a mismatch with them too.
Yeah, I mean, they first and foremost have to catch the football at that position, and then they have to block, and so we just going to have to see. We're going to put the people in that we feel like can play, and then we're just going to run our offense and not worry about it at that point.
Talk a little bit about defense. The first four games this year, you've really prohibited the opposing offenses from moving the chains. Now, last week, a little bit of an anomaly. We still held Caldwell to under 10 first downs, as we have done every opponent this season, which first time since 1999.
But when you're scoring in the first down, then
yeah, when
you gotta hold them.
It's 90-yard runs and plays. But still, I think that says something for your defense. Teams are having trouble just lining up and sustaining drives. Albeit, Caldwell didn't need to do that, but the rest of them.
Yeah, and work on that. I mean, we want to make sure that at some point they can get some yardage, and they should, because they work on it. And it's not like that they're going to just sit there and let us do what we want to defensively with them. So we work on it, and we try to force turnovers, and we want to play aggressive. We feel like we're pretty aggressive on the run, and that has been our staple since I've been here, and we just have to improve in the passing game. And be honest with you, it's my fault, because I'm old school and I'm playing the coverages back when they only had two receivers and at the most three receivers out. Now that there's four and five receivers out, we have to adapt our coverage to adjust to that, and we're trying to do so. And so we're studying and we're looking at ways to do that, and so we experimented with it Friday night against Caldwell, and for the most part it worked. We did have some breakdowns, but it was because we just installed it and I didn't give us enough time to prepare for it.
Webster County's 0-3. They haven't played what I would call a tough schedule by any stretch of the imagination, and still have not won a game. They lost to Hopkins Central, a team that we just manhandled. They lost 22-14. Union County blitzed them 50-6, and Clinton County 34-27 beat Webster, and Clinton County is they're not very good. That's the only game they've won.
Well, I can tell you they're struggling over there, and I understand that. And as I said on the onset of this, that is clearly a game that we should win. We totally expect to win. But the factors that I look into it and that we try to get our kids to understand is first and foremost, they chose us for homecoming. And that to us is a is something that I don't take lightly. And so to choose us for homecoming to me shows that basically you want to take the team that you think is the weakest on your schedule and put them as homecoming. And so the message that they sent to us simply by putting us at homecoming is we're the weakest team on their schedule. We have to take that as a challenge. We have to make sure that they understand that that's not the case. We have pride that we want to take in our program. And we have pride that we want to show in our program and show to other people that we are a good football football team, because we are a good football team. And we just have to make sure that we don't take this game for granted, and we do every little thing that we're supposed to do to make sure that we take care of the responsibilities that we have, both offense and defense, execute, and we want to beat this team. I don't like to be chosen for homecoming, and I want to send that message that we don't want this to happen again. Secondly, I think that you have Gage Courtney over there, who I think is a good coach. He's knowledgeable. He understands the game. He played college football. But most importantly, I think he played here, and he knows what our philosophies are. He knows what our signals are. He knows what we do in our special teams, and because we haven't changed, and he knows what we have been doing and what we try to do. So I think it's a little bit advantage to them. Now, with that said, you have to go out and execute, and you have to have better players. So we're just going to hopefully go out and take it to them and make this thing happen Friday night.
Okay, we're not taking any dresses to homecoming. We're gonna take the.
We're not taking any dresses.
We're gonna bring the wood to them. All right, Coach Starnes, good luck this week over Dixon.
Hey, appreciate it, buddy.